You're listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone. This show will give you the tools and information for better health as you age. Now, here's your host, Kendra Vallone.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our show, Aging Redefined. This one's brought to us by VITAS Hospice, your dedicated partner till the end of life. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Dr. Larry Emder. Dr. Emder, how are you?
I'm doing great, and good morning right back to you. You look marvelous
today. Thank you. Oh, well, thank you. I just try. But I'm not the one that's looking so sharp. I mean, you just coming back from vacation. How was that, by the way?
Oh, that was amazing. I took my 7-year-old grandson to Mammoth.
Oh, no kidding.
He caught his first fish.
Oh.
He drove his first boat.
Wow.
I bought him his first bike, which he rode without training wheels.
Are you serious? How old is your grandson?
He's 7.
Wow.
And he had his first glass of wine.
And just did he really? No.
Just joking.
Like,
everything
wow.
with the wine was his first.
That's great. Awesome. Oh, he must have had a great time. How cool is that? Getting to spend time with Grandpa, right?
Oh, very nice.
Oh, nifty. Well, Mammoth would have been really nice. I feel like we're jet setters. We're always on vacation or holiday, you know, going around.
It's part of my stress management, you know, program.
I like. Well, that's why you look like you're 35.
Yeah, so work right? hard and, you know, play very hard.
Play very. I like your thinking. And as for me, what did I do? I just kind of stayed home while you went on vacation. But I'm sticking to, how about this? We should update our audience out here. I'm sticking to my gluten-free.
I'm impressed.
How about that? Yeah. How about you? How are you doing on gluten-free?
Well, I'm 2 weeks in. And
are you really? Are you still sticking with it?
I've lost 4 pounds.
Have you really?
And I'm a vegetarian. So I don't eat any meat.
And you are kind of a vegan because you don't eat dairy.
Pretty much vegan, so I don't eat dairy.
Right.
And now I'm not eating any bread. So I need some help from our audience.
Back to the ice cubes.
I'm back to the ice cubes. Right. I need our audience to send in some recipes, healthy recipes for Dr.
Oh, that's
Emder,
a great idea.
Because I'm running out of things to eat.
Yeah. You know? No, that's a great idea. Actually, you know what? We should announce to our audience that we just started a Facebook page, which is Aging Redefined Radio. So for anybody out there that is listening, they can jump on Facebook and like us there and then perhaps respond with some recipes.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Let's have them send in recipes. We'll pick out the best recipes. I'll analyze it for whether it actually is healthy.
Yeah.
And I'll probably have my wife make it because I haven't been in the kitchen in 50 years.
Serious?
And,
oh, your poor
other
wife.
Than to eat. And then the best recipe, we'll give a free consultation. I'm a pulmonologist, internist, anti-aging specialist. How's that for an
go incentive? You? Yeah. Oh, I like it. Now, when somebody younger might hear anti-aging, they're thinking that you have like some tricks up your sleeve.
I'll say healthy aging.
Healthy aging.
I should say that Kendra took pictures of the two of us as a promotion that we're going to hand out to doctors' offices.
Yeah.
And I sent that to my brothers and my sister. And my one brother texted back, how old was the picture? I said, the picture was a week old. He goes, you're looking younger. So
I agree with that.
Maybe because I'm standing next to such a pretty lady.
Oh, well, thank you, Dr. Emder. I appreciate that. No, but you're looking pretty good. So that's kind of what's forcing me onto this new diet. Actually, you've gotten me addicted. We should make note that this show is not about diets. I mean, Aging Redefined really talks about healthy aging. You know, anybody from somebody looking to have a knee replacement to going into a skilled nursing facility to what Medicare is all about and all of that. But at the same time, as you start incorporating a healthy lifestyle, you start looking at everything, which includes your diet. Actually, diet's a really big part of it. So I've become addicted to these documentaries on food and stuff. And I think you've watched Forks Over Knives, which
right.
I just recently saw. Great. Hungry for Change is one that I'm watching right now. And obviously I read Wheat Bellies. So it's just, I think, now I'm addicted to Whole Foods. Is that a bad thing?
Oh, that's
an expensive thing.
That's one of my favorite places to send my wife to shop.
Really? You know, the one that's right in, I haven't been to all of them. I know they're all over the place, but there's one up in Solana Beach. It's massive. I mean, like, you go there for dinner and then they have like a little bar that has like beers and stuff, and they have a gluten-free beer, I found out.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
It's sweetened with corn sweetener, I guess, which goes against all of the other things that we're trying to avoid. Excellent. It was so good.
Is that the bottle you sent me the picture?
It is. I sent you the picture. Yeah. So I did. I bought some. It's in my refrigerator. But anyway, yeah, it's good stuff. So, okay.
Talking about diets, I know this wasn't on the show here, but I have an article here. It states that vegetarians live longer than meat eaters, according to a study published in the Journal of the American Association of Medicine, Medical Association, or JAMA. The authors tracked 73,000 members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church for almost 6 years, and the church is known for promoting a vegetarian diet.
Yeah, and they also don't eat anything that, like, crawls. They have a very strict diet.
Yeah, so there may be some other factors, but what they found was vegetarians in this study experienced 12% fewer deaths over the period, and dietary choices appear to play a big role in protecting the patient's heart. So there you go. Plant-based diets may be a healthy
thing. Okay. And so that's the whole, like, forks over knives argument. And I'm with you on that. Like, it makes sense. But I'm still, I don't know. Like, if we're talking about going back to, like, how cavemen were eating, they did eat meat, right? It was just very limited. So could you say, like, I'm a vegetarian, but I eat meat every once in a while? How does chicken do with that? Chicken's not red meat.
Yeah, I think chicken is fine. Why is it fine? Okay. Of course, with a Mediterranean diet, which includes chicken, there's also 30% decrease in incidence of stroke. So the Mediterranean diet is, you know, fruits, nuts, the vegetables, and chicken. So I think, you know, your chicken is okay. I think red meat, you know, in moderation is going to be fine.
A lean filet mignon. No blue cheese crust on it, though, perhaps.
You know, up in Mammoth, my nephew had some antelope.
Antelope?
Yeah, so
no,
I think that may be like Rudy the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but yeah. Anyway, I did have a bite of it. It was very good.
So. I can't say I'm jealous.
So I would say, you know, red meat in moderation, but the Forks Over Night document that you're talking about is by Dr. Esselstyn from the Cleveland Clinic, who I actually trained under.
Did you really? I was going to say, have you met him?
Years ago. And he's a surgeon and, you know, was into TPN or total parenteral nutrition. And he's since went on to make a name for himself taking heart patients that had severe heart disease at the Cleveland Clinic, in fact, that could not have any more surgeries or could not have any more bypass surgeries or could not have any more stents. And they were waiting to die, and he took them and put them on a very restrictive vegan, by what I call a vegan plus diet, and he was able to show a reversal of heart disease. And this is a basically a plant based diet. So that's what you were looking at.
Interesting. Okay. Hey, well, maybe we should get him on the show.
Okay.
Come down to San Diego.
Maybe by phone.
Okay, well, we do have a great show today. Actually, we have Marianne Latini coming on a little bit later, and she's going to be talking about advanced directives. So, nice. But before we kick off the show, maybe I should do a little bit about what's new in medicine. We're kind of running a little bit low on time, but what do you think?
Talk real fast.
Talk real fast. Okay, here we go. What's new in medicine? It's pretty common knowledge that vitamin C helps the common cold, but due to a new study, it took a look at what it can do for asthma or respiratory illness caused by exercise. So after exercising, the airways can sometimes severely narrow and cause symptoms such as shortness of breath, wheezing, coughing, or if you're like me, don't really get to the gym very often, you're probably going to feel like you're keeling over and dying. But just kidding. Ultimately, we're talking about bronchoconstriction. Did I say that right?
That's good.
I'm getting so much better, right?
I'm in bronchoconstriction.
Bronchoconstriction?
Yeah, bronchoconstriction.
Oh, bronchoconstriction. Okay. Dang. And close to 1 in 10 people suffer from it. And it's not just for the faint of heart either, as it affects nearly half of all competitive winter sport athletes. So the study revealed that vitamin C reduced symptoms by over 50% following an exercise challenge test. So they determined that people should consider testing vitamin C on an individual basis. If you're thinking about running to the fridge to grab an orange, good for you. However, there is something called rose hips, and I would recommend that, which are, they're actually the big seed pods that form on rose canes after they blossom. And they've got a huge amount of vitamin C, 426 milligrams versus 53 milligrams per 100 grams. You can find rose hips at your local health food store, like Whole Foods, etc. And add it to your tea, make jam, all sorts of things. And I actually kind of think that's all we have time for.
Well, you know, the rose hips is a great way to get your vitamin C.
I know.
Because the problem with orange juice is you don't know how long it's sitting on the shelf. And
so they got a lot of sugar in it.
And it's got a lot of sugar in it. But the vitamin, besides you know, the sugar content, you may not be getting all the vitamin C you think you're getting from, you know, a store-bought orange juice.
It defeats the purpose, right?
Yeah.
All sorts of things. And, you know, I mean, there's so many different kind of food things out there. In fact, there's a new item out for gluten-free people, which is actually ironic. It's called the canary seed. But it's not bird food. It's more protein that can be ground into flour, used in bread, cookies, cakes, and other products and stuff like that. So just to keep in mind out there, if anybody's looking for new things, they can eat seeds and roses. We are turning into birds.
Yeah.
That's okay. All right. Well, anyway, our audience out there, stay with us and listen to this brief commercial from our sponsor, VITAS Hospice. And we will be right back. Thanks so much.
When Joe was in his last days, I was frightened of not having the right help at the right moment. So I set out to find a hospice I could call at any time, day or night. Only VITAS provided telecare, the 24-hour access we needed.
Mom's illness was overwhelming toward the end, and I wanted a hospice that had everything and everyone we needed. We discovered only VITAS employs more physicians who specialize in hospice care than anyone nationally. That made Mom and us feel better.
When Carol was dying, I promised she could stay at home and had the very best care. I did my research. Only VITAS had the experience to take care of the love of my life.
Call VITAS Innovative Hospice Care toll-free at 877-647-1124 for a free hospice evaluation. That's 877-647-1124. Or visit VITAS.com for more information.
Welcome back, everybody, to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder. Good morning. And today we've got an awesome show for you. We're going to be talking a little bit about a subject that, you know, it's something that is kind of a, I don't want to say necessary evil because that sounds wrong.
It's not evil.
It's not evil at all. No.
Maybe a little down on the downer side.
Yeah.
But extremely important.
Very, very important. So I'm going to hand it over to you and let you take it over.
Well, it's a great pleasure for this morning to introduce Marianne Latini, who's a social worker at Kindred Hospital, which is a long-term acute care hospital, which deals with patients that are chronic ventilator patients and wound care patients. She's been in practice 35 years, and she has her master's from San Diego State. And I'd like to give a warm welcome to Marianne.
Well, thank you, Dr. Emder. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you, Kendra.
Hi, Marianne. Oh, I'm so excited that you're here. So
we're going to be talking about advanced directives.
Yeah, so let me go first here. Even though I'm in the healthcare industry, like, really, can you break down what exactly is an advanced directive?
Okay, an advanced directive basically allows you to choose what your healthcare is going to look like in advance.
Okay, that
it's
makes
basically
sense.
Basically paperwork that the patient and the family fills out together. Mm-hmm. The patient picks agents to represent them in the case that they're not able to verbalize their choices. Mm-hmm. Things as simple to complicated as far as whether or not they want full care if they're not able to express that verbally. Mm-hmm. And by full care, we mean if their heart should stop, do they want CPR done? Do they want to be resuscitated? Do they want chemicals introduced? Mm-hmm. Versus perhaps the patient who wants to go a more natural death and not have interventions, not be put on life support, not be dialyzed. Mm-hmm. And these are basically what is put in writing in a form that is available to all clients in the community. There are websites out there where you can obtain a healthcare advance directive, and it is free. You do not have to go to a lawyer to fill one out. This is something that you and your agent talks about together.
Okay. Now, but I would put myself in like a younger category, right? So that's not something that
younger
I would.
Younger category?
Right.
Young people do not die.
Yeah. Stop. Well, I just mean,
it doesn't work that way.
So is that a misconception? Or like, what are some, what am I thinking here?
That's a good question.
Thanks. The blonde strikes again.
Advanced directives is highly recommended for anyone 18 and over.
Absolutely.
Because we never know what's going to happen to us. We have very young patients that end up, unfortunately, in a facility, such as an acute hospital, after a major trauma.
Right. Trauma is the main way.
That's what brings in our
young. I didn't quite think about that.
Yeah,
okay.
Our young patients that have not had this discussion, because it's a very difficult discussion to have at a young age.
Yeah.
So what I recommend is... everyone, if they have an advance directive for healthcare, review it every 5 to 10 years because your decisions about life care changes as we age. The agent that we may have picked 10 years ago may not even be a part of our life anymore. We certainly don't want a divorced spouse to be making decisions about our advance directives and following our wishes if we're no longer involved with them.
Yeah, okay. Well, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for our listeners, like today they said, well, when I wake up tomorrow, I want an advance directive. So you said they don't have to go to the lawyer. What do they actually do? Where do they actually go to get the form and how do they enact it?
Well, as I said, they can go on a website and download a website,
advanced directives.
And just do a Google search. There is a website, www.advdir, stands for Advanced Directive.com, mm-hmm. and you can download from that website a free copy. Once you complete the Advanced Directive, we highly recommend that you make copies of it. Your agent or agents can receive copies. You keep extra copies for yourself, and you most certainly give your primary care physician a copy so that he is also aware of your wishes.
Now, should this be witnessed, notarized? I mean, how do you make it official?
Good questions. When you download the Advanced Directive for Healthcare, there are instructions in the front. It needs to be witnessed by two people. They cannot be the agent because that would be a conflict of interest. If you can't find two witnesses, then you can have it notarized. And the thing about notary these days is if you have a bank account, most banks have a notary who will notarize it for free. Hmm. Then that makes it now a legal document.
I believe hospitals are required now to ask if someone has an advance directive and offer that when they come in. Is that another source for obtaining the right forms?
Absolutely. Our hospital, for example, asks every patient that comes in if they have an advance directive for healthcare, and we review to make sure that that's actually what they have. The problem that we're seeing is years ago, patients thought that they had an advance directive for healthcare, and indeed, they actually were filling out a durable power of attorney. And that could have been for fiduciary only and not addressing healthcare issues.
Okay.
So they come in thinking they had an advance directive for healthcare, where in fact it was a durable power of attorney.
Oh, wow.
And that's the difference.
So you can give someone the legal right over your finance, a durable power of attorney for finance. You give someone your durable power of attorney for your health, which
correct.
Is the second thing.
Correct.
Or you could have your advanced directive.
That is correct.
And
that
is there any correct. Way to define all of these things up front, or is that a smart thing to do?
Well, the smartest thing to do is review it and see if it actually addresses any healthcare issues. And if you notice that it's never been addressed, then you know it's lacking that piece. So then you can download a free copy of an advanced directive for healthcare, and your package, what I like to call your home package, is complete.
Hmm.
The thing that's important to know is it's readily available. You can obtain them in a hospital setting because now we're required to ask every patient if they have one. And if they don't have one, your social services department should be able to provide you with a copy and actually help you go over the instruction piece. And we certainly do that at Kindred Hospital.
Okay. Now, what happens if somebody like me doesn't have one and they come in?
If you do not have one at the mm-hmm. time of your hospitalization, mm-hmm. then again, a social worker or case management department can provide you with one.
Okay.
If you are our general audience out there and you're not in a hospital setting and you just want one, the easiest way to obtain one would be to go online
right.
and download one.
But say I get into an accident and I'm in, you know, I'm traumatized to the point that I can't make decisions on my own. What happens then?
That's one of the bigger dilemmas that we see.
And we see that all the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Huge, huge dilemma, because now it's up to your next of kin to be making decisions. So if you're married, it would be your spouse.
Okay.
If you're not married, it could be your mother or your father. It could be your siblings. And this puts a huge, and I'm going to repeat this, a huge strain on your loved ones, because they're not only dealing with the trauma of you being hospitalized, now they're dealing with having to make your healthcare decisions for you because you're not able to verbalize what you would want. And that's putting a tremendous emotional strain on your loved ones.
So you're saying it's selfish.
It's not so much selfish. What I want to say is it's one of the most important things that you could be doing for yourself in respect for your loved ones, because now you're not putting the burden on them. You're having this conversation with them in advance so that they understand what you would want. Mm-hmm. And things as simple as, you know, after Thanksgiving dinner, we're all going to sit down and have this talk together while witnessing with other family members what are our choices.
Do we have to do it at Thanksgiving?
Yeah. No, it doesn't have to be Thanksgiving.
Can we just do it at dinner?
I'm just looking at the dinner table and who's there. And yeah, it's before dessert. Guess what?
Oh,
I'm going to die someday. And but, probably the worst time to have that question asked is, you know, you're coming in for an elective procedure and the secretary says, well, do you have an advance directive? Like, what happens if your heart stops? I mean, you're already stressed out. You're having an elective procedure and now they're asking about what your wishes are. So I think Marianne's point is the best time to have this conversation is at a non-stressful time when your family is together and you say, you know, hey, look, none of us are living forever. You know, God forbid if I get sick, you know, these are my wishes. This is what I want to happen. And to have that conversation and then codify it by putting the instructions down and signing it.
Simply putting it in writing is the most important thing you can do so that it's witnessed and everybody's on the same page. And many times we'll see conflicts between the family members because they weren't in agreement and they didn't have it in writing. And now we're caught between a rock and a hard place, basically, because now we have families in conflict.
You know, as a physician, the worst thing for us is to have a patient who's critically ill with no advance directive and with family members that are in disagreement. And then, you know, we're really stuck, you know, because we can't go either way without a consensus. So that's why your physicians, and you should be having these conversations with your primary care physician, really appreciates it when it's when it is delineated ahead of time. And we have a boilerplate of what the person wants us to do for them.
Yeah, and we don't want strangers making these decisions for us. We really want to be involved and on the forefront of directing our care in advance.
Right. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, for our audience members out there, stay with us, and we will be right back after this quick word from our sponsor.
Jack, I'm so glad you're here. I was just visiting with Dad.
Yeah, how's he doing?
Well, he's getting better, but the nurse said he needs a couple weeks in a skilled nursing facility for physical therapy with that hip fracture.
Skilled nursing? Like a nursing home?
Yeah, right. I know. I wasn't excited about it either. But after talking to her, it actually sounds like a really good idea. She said there are some facilities to be leery about, but I guess there's a company out there, Plum Healthcare, that really stepped it up to change the perception of nursing homes. She mentioned one of their top facilities in East County, Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center. It's one of the top-rated facilities in San Diego. Plus, they have an amazing team of physical therapists with this indoor and outdoor rehab area that Dad really needs. Oh, and they're a subacute facility.
A what?
A subacute facility. Well, Dad doesn't need it, but it's for patients that need a ventilator to breathe. It's just good to know that they have that advanced level of care. just in case, you know? And they're one of the only facilities to have their own team of wound care professionals, which is really important for Dad after that surgery.
Yeah, but are they going to care about Dad like we do?
Yeah, I asked that too. I guess a lot of nursing homes use nursing registries or rehab companies to outsource their staff. The whole group at Villa Las Palmas is in-house, so they won't be changing on him all the time. They'll get to know him and push him every day to get better and stronger than he was before.
No kidding. So do we have to make a reservation or call or what?
The nurse said we can call and schedule a time to go tour the facility. The admissions team will walk us through the building and the whole insurance thing, co-pays, and so on.
Is it going to be expensive?
Well, Villa Las Palmas takes all insurances and HMOs, so that's good. But because Dad has Medicare, everything's covered.
No kidding. Okay, well, I'm liking this place already.
Yeah, Dad seemed to like the idea. He heard the food was good.
All right. Well, should I make an appointment?
Oh, look at you being responsible.
Hey, you know me. I want to check out the food.
Yeah, well, check out the website, VillaLasPalmasCares.com, or just call them, 619-442-0544. I think we're all learning that aging is definitely changing.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder, and our special guest today, Marianne Latini, who is actually a social worker over at Kindred Hospital. So today we've been talking about advanced directives, which is actually very detailed, and we're talking about more of how you want your healthcare planned out for you if you're unable to kind of make those decisions. But we were talking about this briefly in the last part of the show, but from where I sit, like, Marianne, if I ended up in the hospital, I would almost want my husband to make that call. Like, we're based on like where we are, you know, and it sounds so bad, but like, you know, financially, are we able to do life support forever and ever and ever? And I know it's so much more than life support, so I shouldn't just throw that out there. But, you know, I would think he would know where we stand or what the doctors are telling him, like, okay, there's a good chance that she'll come out of this or whatever. So I would almost feel more comfortable putting that on him. But I guess, is that not really the right thing to do?
it's a very, very tough call on a loved one to be making these healthcare decisions. And the whole philosophy of the Advanced Directive for Healthcare is to choose an agent that you feel would truly feel that they were following your already pre-described decisions. Mm-hmm. And to actually choose someone who's so closely emotionally attached to you is a difficult position to put them in. Mm-hmm. And many, many times we see that a patient will choose their spouse first because they feel that's their best friend, that's the person who knows them best. But emotionally, it can be very, very tough. Even if you have an advanced directive for healthcare that clearly states this is what I want and what I don't want, to have your spouse be able to say, yeah, that's really what she wanted, but it's so hard for me to see that happen. So my recommendation is usually to choose an agent, and you can also choose a second agent, an alternate agent, who, number one, is not as closely attached to you, and certainly someone who's younger than you, because you don't want to be both aging at the same time. Mm. We have, you know, with patients aging, they have senility and things of this nature. We would best be able to pick an agent who's younger. One of my first choices would be a very, very close friend, someone who truly knows you.
And knows your wishes.
And would observe your wishes, would come forth with the advanced directive and say, yes, I have a copy of the advanced directive for healthcare, and this is what they wanted.
And it's important to let them know what your wishes are.
Well, to have those open discussions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, that's the problem, is not having the open discussions.
Right. Now, is there any like leeway on these advanced directives? Like, say it says, you know, don't, for example, like do not resuscitate, but something happened and it was so brief where, I mean, like the doctor would be like, no, we can save her. Is it like pretty much if it's written, it is done?
There's always leeway.
There's leeway.
Open for discussion.
Okay.
But we're in advance getting a picture of what the patient would want rather than what I like to say, going in blind. When a patient comes into a hospital setting and they do not have an advance directive for healthcare, it is the facility and the physician's obligation to do full care.
Absolutely.
And that means resuscitation. That means putting the patient on ventilators and on dialysis, which that patient may not have wanted because now their quality of life has been jeopardized.
I mean, this just happened within the last month. We had a relatively young patient. I think she was 35.
Oh,
but
wow.
She had many comorbidities. She was chronic renal failure, and she had an advanced directive, supposedly, mm-hmm. that she did not want to be resuscitated. But when she came into the ER, no one could present it.
Yes.
They couldn't find it. And so now we're left with a 35-year-old who we can save. And, you know, what decision does the ER physician make? What physician do we make? We always want to err on the side of preserving life. So
yes.
Then we did a full resuscitation.
Sure.
We stabilized her in the emergency room and then we got her up into the intensive care unit. And the family came in and said, well, she didn't want this. So I said, well, you know, give me the form. They said, well, we don't have it. I said, yeah. Okay, well, give me who's the durable power of attorney. They said, well, he's down in Texas. I said, well, get him on the phone. And I talked to him on the phone. I said, well, give me the legal document that shows you're the durable power of attorney. He says, well, I don't really have it.
Oh wow.
But then luckily she had a pulse form, which we'll talk about.
Yes.
That she had filled out at a nursing home, which defined her wishes, and we were able to withdraw support.
Great.
But before we had that, we're, you know, as a physician, we're stuck because, you know, you don't want to take someone off the ventilator, especially who's young, when there may be a chance to resuscitate them.
Absolutely.
But when they have a clear form, a statement in this pulse form, we were able to follow and honor her wishes, and, we took her off the ventilator, the family was there, and they actually were very appreciative.
Of course.
But these are kind of these situations on the other side that the physician gets into when everything isn't clearly marked. In retrospect, it would have been better if she had the pulse form on the refrigerator when they called 911.
Right.
You know, they bring it into us and we would have let her, you know, pass with dignity in the emergency room.
And that's why I encourage those that have an advanced directive for healthcare to make sure that their agent has a copy, that they have a copy, and that their primary care physician has a copy. This way, the emergency room doctor could have called the primary care physician and the primary care physician could have said, we have an advanced directive in her medical chart, and these are her wishes, and they can be honored and followed. So that's how important these forms are to have, and that people involved have copies.
So that form stays with you wherever you go, right?
Actually, with some of the advanced directive for healthcare, the one that you can download that I gave the website to actually has a little wallet that you cut out.
A little version.
It's a little version that just says, I have an advanced directive for healthcare. Make sure you contact my agent. And the agent's name and phone number is on that little wallet card that you carry around with you all the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so well done and thought out. And that's why we encourage everyone to have an advanced directive for healthcare.
Especially, I'm 55 and over. I'm 65.
But looking good. But looking good, Dr. Emmer. Yeah,
if the audience, if you're 55 and over and you don't have an advanced directive, I would say tomorrow, next Monday.
How about today?
Or today, you should really need to get it. And all honesty, 18 years and older, it's a good idea to start the process.
Absolutely.
I know personally, when my children were young, I had it filled out, and I just recently revisited it. And I had my brother as the durable power of attorney for finance and everything. And since that time, he's had a bankruptcy and, you know, his life had some issues. And
right.
I realized I had the wrong person in charge of everything. So for our audience that has an advanced directive, make sure you have reviewed it at least, what do you think, every 5 years?
I highly recommend every 5 years because things do change. And agents that we picked 5 or 10 years ago may not honestly be alive anymore.
Right.
Or they could be your ex.
They
right?
could be well, your ex.
That
yeah,
earlier. Yeah. Yeah. That got me.
That's a wake-up call.
And they're going to pull that ventilator really fast.
Yeah. I know. Nah, they don't need that air. Not a problem.
No, it's very, very important to review such an important document. And if we're paying our bills every month, the least we can do is get our advanced directive for healthcare taken care of now. Sooner than later, it is so important. Many of the machines that are used today that were developed to get patients through traumas, for example, young people, are now being used to extend artificial life, because naturally we may have gone passed on without the use of these machines years ago, and now these same machines are keeping patients alive for very, very long amounts of time, and the quality of life is now being jeopardized.
Right. The patients, I know if it was one of my loved ones, I wouldn't want to have them in that situation, and they wouldn't want to be in it. But some families can't make that decision because they're frozen, because they don't want to be the ones that made the decision to, let's say, stop a ventilator.
Absolutely.
But if the family, if the patient had stated ahead of time, it would take that guilt away from the loved one.
There is a lot of guilt involved, and that's a great point to bring up. Many times we will see families that just could not have these discussions. They felt uncomfortable bringing them up. And one of the most important questions that I ask our patients' loved ones is, when was the last time you all sat down and had a meal together? When was the last time you actually had conversations? Because so many of our patients are coming in very, very jeopardized, and they have not had these conversations. And it would have certainly avoided a lot of uncomfortable situations and conversations now with strangers, basically sitting at a conference table with a physician, with a social worker, and these families have never met people like us before.
Right.
And having to have these conversations in front of total strangers makes them very uncomfortable.
Now, when you ask them when's the last time they had dinner, is that to actually write out the advance directive, or is that to kind of show that this, you know, their loved one has been in the hospital for even longer than they can remember, and what kind of quality of life are we wanting to extend?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
It's very much those kinds of conversations that now they're on these machines because they didn't have advanced directives, and they're making very, very difficult decisions about the direction of care.
I mean, death has always been such a taboo subject in our society.
And true.
It's really time to break the taboo, you know. I mean, it's the part of the life cycle. We should all be having these discussions with our loved ones, and it doesn't have to be as traumatic as everybody thinks. It's just, you know, hey, what do you want to happen if XYZ happens?
Yeah. I mean, and there are so many other people out there that, I mean, talking to Marianne here, social work, and also other companies like even, you know, VITAS Hospice, who happens to be one of our sponsors, but are just so dedicated about, you know, making that part of life comforting and extending, you know, like being there for each other. So
the other thing we see too are very, very different cultures here.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely right. Okay, we're running out of time for this segment, but let's talk about that on the next segment, because it is very important. So audience members out there, stay with us for a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
When Joe was in his last days, I was frightened of not having the right help at the right moment. So I set out to find a hospice I could call at any time, day or night. Only VITAS provided telecare, the 24-hour access we needed.
Mom's illness was overwhelming toward the end, and I wanted a hospice that had everything and everyone we needed. We discovered only VITAS employs more physicians who specialize in hospice care than anyone nationally. That made Mom and us feel better.
When Carol was dying, I promised she could stay at home and had the very best care. I did my research. Only VITAS had the experience to take care of the love of my life.
Call VITAS Innovative Hospice Care toll-free at 877-647-1124 for a free hospice evaluation. That's 877-647-1124. Or visit VITAS.com for more information.
Jack, I'm so glad you're here. I was just visiting with Dad.
Yeah, how's he doing?
Well, he's getting better, but the nurse said he needs a couple weeks in a skilled nursing facility for physical therapy with that hip fracture.
Skilled nursing? Like a nursing home?
Yeah, right, I know. I wasn't excited about it either. But after talking to her, it actually sounds like a really good idea. She said there are some facilities to be leery about, but I guess there's a company out there, Plum Healthcare, that really stepped it up to change the perception of nursing homes. She mentioned one of their top facilities in East County, Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center. It's one of the top-rated facilities in San Diego. Plus, they have an amazing team of physical therapists with this indoor and outdoor rehab area that Dad really needs. Oh, and they're a subacute facility.
A what?
A subacute facility. Well, Dad doesn't need it, but it's for patients that need a ventilator to breathe. It's just good to know that they have that advanced level of care, just in case, you know? And they're one of the only facilities to have their own team of wound care professionals, which is really important for Dad after that surgery.
Yeah, but are they going to care about Dad like we do?
Yeah, I asked that too. I guess a lot of nursing homes use nursing registries or rehab companies to outsource their staff. The whole group at Villa Las Palmas is in-house, so they won't be changing on him all the time. They'll get to know him and push him every day to get better and stronger than he was before.
No kidding. So do we have to make a reservation or call or what?
The nurse said we can call and schedule a time to go tour the facility. The admissions team will walk us through the building and the whole insurance thing, co-pays, and so on.
Is it going to be expensive?
Well, Villa Las Palmas takes all insurances and HMOs, so that's good. But because Dad has Medicare, everything's covered.
No kidding. Okay, well, I'm liking this place already.
Yeah, Dad seemed to like the idea. He heard the food was good.
All right. Well, should I make an appointment?
Oh, look at you being responsible.
Hey, you know me. I want to check out the food.
Yeah, we'll check out the website, VillaLasPalmasCares.com, or just call them, 619-442-0544. I think we're all learning that aging is definitely changing.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder, and our special guest today is Marianne Latini, social worker over at Kindred Hospital. And this morning, we've actually been talking about advanced directives, and we ended the last segment of the show on a really interesting point talking about cultures. And, I mean, you know, different cultures have different beliefs, I guess. So, Marianne, would that be a reason why some people don't have advanced directives set up?
I think it's also important to note that it's not only a reason why people may not have an advanced directive, but certain cultures have a more difficult time talking about end-of-life issues, that they don't feel there should be any kind of interference, but not realizing how important it is to have the discussion so that an advance directive for healthcare can be completed. Mm-hmm. And we have a real melting pot of cultures in our country, and we will find that some families just do not want to talk about end of life. They want a more natural way of going, and they don't want interference, and that could be a difficult subject for them. So,
and of course, the problem is, you know, it may end up not being natural because they'll end up on machines.
That is
because
exactly
they never had that
right.
The discussion.
That is exactly right. So, what we're finding is it's important to bring this up. If there's conflicts with the family for whatever reason, whether it's cultural or issues that weren't brought up years ago, the guilt that we start seeing with decision making. We have things like ethics committees in our hospitals that will help families come to a mutual agreement so that you're not feeling guilty about your decisions regarding these important matters for your loved one at the end.
And we do this on a regular basis when there is conflict in the family. And usually there's a thanatology nurse, so it's a nurse that's trained in end-of-life issues. We like the primary care physician to be there, and any specialists, the critical care physician like myself, or the surgeon, and the primary nurse, and then all the family members. And it's usually quite productive.
Very, very productive. And it's important for the family to be given as much education about the loved one's situation as possible from all different disciplines so that an educated decision can be made regarding their direction of care.
Now, I have a personal experience with my mother-in-law came down with pancreatic cancer. This is about 2 years ago. And she actually had the advanced directive. She told us, I don't want to die in a hospital. She says, I want to be at home. So we brought her home. And for her last month, my wife myself and I cared for her. And because she vocalized her wishes, we had all family members actually come in a couple of days before she passed away, it was actually a beautiful experience.
Absolutely.
I mean,
wouldn't
you rather, when we do die, would you rather be in a hospital with tubes down you, isolated with a an ethics committee meeting, or would you rather be at home with your loved ones?
Yes.
And that's, you know, the day before that, you know, the rabbi, I came over and all the children and the grandchildren were there. It was absolutely beautiful. And in fact, we had an extra added level of convenience and support because we had a hospice. We had an enrolled her in hospice. And I know this week, Vita's Hospice is sponsoring the show. So can you tell us, what does hospice, you know, do for the families when they are brought in at the end of life?
We absolutely love the whole philosophy of hospice. And hospice is there to support the patient and the family emotionally, psychologically. They can bring in the spiritual piece to it, like you brought in for your family and loved one. And it just makes that end of life a more peaceful setting. We don't want to see a lot of patients passing away in a very, very sterile environment like a hospital. And if that is the only option because there aren't caregivers in the home, then we could certainly bring hospice into the hospital setting at bedside or even the nursing home and have hospice at bedside, taking care of pain issues and comfort issues, helping with the spiritual support. These are all very important things to support the patient at their end of life to make it a smoother transition for everyone.
And a hospice can come in both to the hospital and into the home setting, true or false?
And true, and also the nursing home.
We have Villa Las Palmas.
Yeah, they are readily available to help in all different settings, which is a wonderful support for everyone involved.
You know, to put our audience at ease, many of the advanced directives, what they state is that, you know, after, and you can, the patient defines it, after like 5 days of intensive therapy, you know, if I'm still in coma and two physicians agree that my quality of life is going to be poor, you know, at that point, you know, you can take me off machines. So it's not like, you know, when you really come into the hospital, it's like, this is it, you know, it's the end. You can define actually your advanced directive, what do you want to happen? And, you know, 5 to 7 days is, you know, a fair amount of time to, you know, figure out, you know, where, you know, how sick someone is. Is there a chance for recovery? And then it gives the family and the physicians a chance to see, you know, what is the prognosis? What is the, you know, what prognosis for quality of life issues. Then after the 5 days, if it looks like, you know, the patient's not going to make a meaningful recovery, then you can have in your advanced directive that, you know, when you want to go to comfort care and hospice, and then all the, and then, you know, you can end up, you know, going to the out of the ICU to the floor with your family under hospice, or you can even go home with hospice.
Yes.
But you have to have it spelled out in your advanced directive.
That's a very, very good point. In fact, some hospitals are now even considering what they have comfort rooms so that the patient can be moved off the intensive care unit into a more home-like room environment that could mock a home, a bedroom, bring in personal things from home to make it look more appeasing.
So what is comfort care exactly?
Comfort care basically means that we're no longer aggressively treating the patient, that the goal is to keep the patient comfortable. So at every point, the doctor will ask himself, if this procedure does not make my patient comfortable or causes any harm, I will not do that procedure. And that directs comfort care. It's actually change of direction of care from full aggressive treatment to just keeping the patient very comfortable.
Now, would that even include somebody that said they don't want to be on dialysis anymore?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We would take the patient off dialysis. We would take the patient off the vent and basically keep them just comfortable.
I think there's a lot of fear, probably in, you know, all patients, our audience, about pain and suffering. And I can reassure our audience that medicine has evolved to the point that, you know, we can really eliminate the pain and suffering in, you know, the terminal periods of one's, you know, life. You know, even if you have a, you know, a metastatic bone cancer,
yes.
I mean, there are treatments available to keep the patients, you know, comfortable and dying with dignity.
Absolutely. And that's part of the whole palliative team approach, is to continue to give some treatment with the outcome just keeping the patient comfortable rather than aggressively treat them. So there's no reason for patients to be in pain anymore. We have the tools.
Now, we, as a physician, we can't do that if the patient doesn't have the advanced directive and a family member says, no, I want everything to be done no matter what. I want to preserve life at all costs. And as a physician, we get stuck in situations where we're thinking, you know, we want to do this to our pets, you know, because the patients are like suffering. As a physician, you know, you want to, you know, eliminate, you know, you want to prolong life, but you don't want to prolong suffering. And if everything is not in place, that is the advanced directive. You know, the patients really don't die with dignity, which brings us to the last point, because we're running out of time, is the pulse. What is the pulse exactly?
The pulse stands for, it's P-O-L-S-T, and it's the physician's orders for life-sustaining treatment. And it is a form, it's a one-page form, very, very easy to complete, which actually step-by-step with your physician, you talk about what you want and what you don't want. Do you want hydration at the end, for example? Do you want to be put on a vent? Do you want or not want the dialysis? And it's very, very specific that you go over with your physician so that you both have a clear understanding of what kind of care you want at the end.
So that's great. For our audience, they could go online tomorrow and download the form.
Yes.
If you're not computer savvy, you don't have a smartphone, you can, when you go to see your primary care physician, you could ask him for the pulse form and you could fill it out at that point.
That is true. Absolutely.
And the third option, you know, if you have a little extra money, is go to see your family lawyer. Mm-hmm. And they can draw up everything from your durable power of attorney for health, finance, your advanced directive. They have it in a binder, and, you know, God forbid, you know, if we ever die, and we're all going to die. You know, in my family, they know that we would keep this binder, and it's basically a roadmap of all my wishes, what I want to happen with my health, with my estate. And, you know, I believe, you know, we should all do that because it's not that expensive.
And we can put it in what we call an ICE notebook, which is in case of an emergency, everyone would know to go there.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Well, thanks so much, Marianne. We appreciate you coming on the show. And if we have audience members out there who have more questions, how can they get a hold of you?
They feel free to call me at Kindred Hospital San Diego, 619-543-4500. And my extension is 4145. I would welcome any questions.
Mm-hmm. And I can be found on the web at Healthy Aging Medical Associates, or my office number is 619-286-8803. We'd be happy to talk about happy things with you.
Happy.
Or if you need your pulse form filled out, I got a stack of pulse forms in my office.
Good for you.
And we are also now on Facebook. So everybody out there, jump on Facebook and check us out at Healthy Aging Radio. I'm sorry, Healthy Aging. Aging Redefined Radio. And also, Dr. Emder needs some recipes. So if you've got any gluten-free, vegan and vegetarian recipes, we'd love to check them out. So we'll look forward to hearing from you. And our show is changing. It is no longer going to be at 6 a.m. It's going to be at 2 p.m. on Saturday, starting next week. So after this week's show, tune in then. And we'll talk to you later. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone.